We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. Rufino's on the river. We missed you so much since Tuesday that we're right back at it. Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love back at Rufino's, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We promised a special guest, and joining me for the next half hour, if we could twist her arm, a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Yvette Girard. Coach, I know you're going to Yvette Girard Field to call some high-level softball later, but this is a treat.
Yeah, actually, the softball's over. It was the USA Olympic team. I had it wrong when I told you. It was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So over there at Lampson Park, Yvette Girard Field, which is still really funny for me to say out loud, you had the best softball players really in the world, because if the USA wins the gold medal, I mean, they're the best in the world.
I knew that there was action last night, so my apologies. Nope. There's no more tonight. And I'll tell you how I knew that. He's a really good friend of mine. His last name is Landry. He named his girl Bailey Landry. And, of course, you know who they had to go see last night. They were some kind of excited about it.
I told her I was kind of sitting by the backstop, and I said, hey, get a hit, Landry Domingue, because she got married. And she turned around and she looked at me and winked. So it was great to see some former Tigers playing, and, of course, playing at that hallowed field. But, you know, the crowds got better every night. I think they didn't maybe advertise it enough. A lot of people didn't know. And we really got lucky with the weather, because all three nights,
yeah,
wow, it didn't feel like South Louisiana at all.
You love football. I know that. It feels like football weather, or at least it did.
It does. It's that time of the year where I used to think I feel so sorry for those football guys. And I was never that female coach that envied that the football program got all this money and nobody else got, you know, the rest of us didn't get whatever. And I was like, they work for all of that. I can't imagine being out in this weather with pads on and everything else.
It's a dangerous topic this week. I don't want to go too far down that road, because you may not have envied them, but with that new locker room, there are some professors and people you might have seen, Coach, that feel a little bent about it.
Yeah, but you know what? When you realize the fact that that is all money, I'm not sure what you have to complain about. So I know, I mean, it's an academic institution. That's what it was built for. But you know, the bottom line is, nobody goes back to the library for homecoming. You know,
is
it out of whack? Yes, it's out of whack. It absolutely is out of whack. Football coaches should, it's almost criminal what they're making, you know, and now I see what softball coaches are making, but you know, who's going to turn it down?
They're playing on national television all the time. They're bringing in ad dollars, and you and I have talked about that. I think in a lot of ways, this sport, softball, I don't know that they've supplanted volleyball on the West Coast and down here in the Deep South, but I think it's fair to say they've taken over their fair share of the pie there.
Oh, I think that that women's softball on the collegiate level, yeah, I think it's blown away volleyball. I do. I think that, you know, we always said that TV coverage was the last hurdle for our sport, and it shows. It proves it every College World Series, Women's College World Series, the numbers are out of sight. And you know, and I'm having fun doing color for those games now. So it's been a nice little second career for me, or third career, whatever it was. But yeah, no question, the excitement around college softball, in the professional league, not so much. And I can't really put my finger on why it's not as popular. But when it comes to college softball, it's rabid.
Yvette Girard, our guest, and we're live from Rufino's on the river. A lot I want to get to, but I always am curious when coaches had the light go off and say, you know what, this might be what I want to do for a living. For you, was it the threat of working at a family restaurant? It's either I got to coach or I'm going to go cook. What was it?
Well, I was really blessed with athletic genes. All of my dad's family, everybody's very athletic. You know, growing up, I was a pre-Title IX baby in my little town of Broussard, and they didn't allow me to play. And my friends who I grew up with in my neighborhood, my boy buddies, they said that when they went to T-ball for the first time, they were looking around for me, and they kept saying, where's Yvette? She's the best player on the team. Why can't Yvette play? So I didn't get to play anything because there wasn't anything for girls. When I got to high school at Como, there was volleyball. That was it. And I always knew that I wanted to be a PE teacher because I wanted to be outside. I was really athletic. I was good. And that's what I wanted to do. And I discovered that I really wanted to coach too. So, in fact, when I went to USL, there were no coaching classes for women. So there was a basketball coaching theory class, guys, and they told me I couldn't take it. And Bobby Green, who's still a great friend of me this day, we all graduated together. He went to the head of the department and he said, you know, this is ridiculous. Yvette wants to take this class. Why can't she take this class? So anyway, that's another story for the book, that they wouldn't even allow us to take coaching classes. So, you know, I got the bug, and my first job out of high school was at Lafayette High. I stayed there for 3 years, and it was funny because the first thing they wanted me to do was the pep squad and gymnastics. And I said, no, you got the wrong girl for that. So I ended up with volleyball and softball and coached the first softball team in Lafayette Parish at Lafayette High. It was the first year that they were going to have fast pitch in this parish.
Take out all of the program building aspects of your job, which I'm sure were the most challenging. What's the most difficult part of coaching? And I guess, have you seen that change over the generations?
Oh, my God, I couldn't have had a career today. In this day and age, I wouldn't have had a career as a female. I was very old school. It was my way or the highway, tuck your shirt tail in, da-da-da, all those things, you know. And, man, these coaches today, they – I don't know if it's as bad on the male side, and we can get into the portal, the transfer portal and another thing, but on the female side, many of the young women who play softball are coached by men growing up. And it seems to be okay for a man to coach hard, but not a woman to coach hard. Because I watched the Women's College World Series, and the young lady from Oklahoma State who kind of took over the country with her bat flip, you know, that's something we don't do in softball, but she did it, and everybody was criticizing her, and she was a little hyper, and she had, you know, she had, it was funny, the team said they had a team meeting to learn how to deal with her. She didn't even know they had this team meeting. Anyway, she's a superstar. So anyway, the male coach said he went up to the mound one day when she was just kind of off her rocker a little bit and just panicking and just, you know, and he told her, shut up, just flat shut up. And now, I mean, if you're a coach and you're this sex, they'll go report you and saying that, you know, you, and then your administrator will say, well, you need to be positive. I said, wait, if they're lazy, I can't tell them they're lazy. No, you need to be positive. So Yvette really retired at the right time.
You saw what was, I guess, the writing on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. A few more moments in this segment, then we'll take a quick break. Yvette Girard joining us on 103.7 The Game. The most interesting part of calling games at Yvette Girard Field is what?
Well, it's just still surreal to me. I'm having an outer body experience because, you know, one, to be welcome. Come back, because for a long time it wasn't a great situation, but it's an awesome situation now, and I'm so happy for my players, my alumni. They're the ones that got this field name. Of course, Dr. Savoy and Dr. Maggard had to make it happen, but they went to them with this idea, and they are so happy to be back and be a part of something so special, because for so long, still is, it's the best sport the university has. So it's sweet to be back home.
You know, it's interesting. When a local I guess, coach takes over. I'm watching it right now with Ed Orgeron at LSU. So many of these former players feel welcome back, and Ed didn't even play at LSU. And you're not even the head coach at UL now, but just your presence here maybe brings some of that in. And I would hope that that's something that Jerry Glasgow reaps the benefits of as he continues to build the program.
Oh, he will. You know, as you've seen, Lafayette's far different than Baton Rouge. And, you know, it's if it truly is correct, you build it, they will come. Well, if you build it, you still have to win. But you're winning, and, you know, I like to say that we do things really the right way a lot of times. You know, we don't have to worry about a lot of the problems that the men encounter. Of course, they don't have to encounter some of the problems we encounter. But it's a sport that everybody can fall in love with because they're usually very – last night, you'll see – if you go back and look at the picture of the USA team and the other professional team lined up for the national anthem, everybody's standing up and got their hands over their hearts. So it's, you know, it's one of those kind of throwback great American pastime thing.
And it fits South Louisiana.
Absolutely.
Like a glove. You're right. Lafayette, Baton Rouge, very different. Even Rafino's. World's different. Rafino's on the river.
Oh, yeah. This is
thing's open-aired.
This is the best atmosphere in Lafayette. You know, I lived here for 48 years and, grew up, and this is the best atmosphere in Lafayette for sure, and blows away the Baton Rouge one, which I know it has its own ambiance.
Yeah, I get it. And believe me, I've been to both. This one, my favorite as well. When we come back, I got to figure out where you've been fishing. I'm not going to ask you to give us the right holes, but we're going to go have fun with that conversation. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in to the best place to celebrate life in Acadiana. Rufino's on the River. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love for another few moments, joined by Yvette Girard, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, and somebody who likes to fish this time of year. Tell us about your ventures. I've been watching some of it on CST.
That was fun. We actually filmed a segment in the little lake that I live on in Baton Rouge, and it was Fran Flory and Lynn Rollins, and I had caught a bunch of sockeye in my lake, but they turned off, and so for that episode, we didn't catch that much fish. But then Chris LeCocq, who's the camera operator for Bayou Wild TV, and he also works with us on all the LSU productions, said, hey, I got a guide at Grand Isle, and I got it all set up. I got us a camp. Y'all want to go fishing, and we'll film another episode. So, of course, we were all in, and we did go fishing. We caught 30 specks. Not great, but much better than what they had been doing because, listen to this, he had a party. The guide had had a party the day before that flew in from Oklahoma, and they caught zero.
Who?
Because of the tide, the wind, the rain. So we did well. I feel sorry for those people, but we had fun.
The irony is that I believe Ruffin right now is at the tarpon rodeo?
Tarpon, and I don't think they caught – I read it this morning. No one caught tarpon yesterday because of the weather.
Good. That's not
Once
good.
Once again, because of the weather. And the guy who is quoted in the newspaper is my buddy, Mr. Coon Pop. Remember that guy?
We're big fans on the program. No, we're familiar.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that team. I wanted to get onto the subject of Cajuns baseball, and I know that potential growth, if you will, through Matt Deggs only comes in the aftermath of tragedy. So I'll just put it that simply to you. How do you look at just everything, the loss of a great friend, man in the community, and what they try to do next with Matt Deggs?
Well, I think that was the ultimate answer to Ryan Maggard and the Cajun fans' prayers. I think they got the right man. It remains to be seen, but here's a man who I think will walk the same walk as Tony Robichaux, who coached under him, understands the Cajun culture. I believe he must have loved it. He liked it here. He's back. And in fact, I've ordered his books now. I'm going to read them. And wish I could have read them when I was coaching. But it seems like it's falling into place, if it can fall into place. I mean, can't imagine how emotional that first, you know, game will be. But, you know, how do you replace a Tony Robichaud? You don't. You absolutely don't. But you carry on his ideals, his principles, and how he lived. And I think they made the right hire. I have the utmost respect for Dr. Brian Maggard. I wish he was an AD that I had worked for. I think that I am so sorry that since he's been here, it's just he can't catch a break. It's just one thing after another that he's had to deal with. And, of course, Tony's death is the pinnacle of it. But having to fire successful coaches, to losing Jerry Glasgow's daughter, to losing Tony, it's just been one hit after another. His wife, breast cancer, so... You know, I hugged him tight and told him not to leave us, that it would get better, and that he was the right man for the job at this time, and that, you know, things would get better. So kudos to him because, you know, I saw it through the softball search because he and I became friends. He came to Baton Rouge, and we visited for an entire day so I could help him and we could, you know, talk out some things. And he zeroes in for those that think that he has this process. He kind of does. He zeroes in on his number one, and he just goes after him. And I was completely blown away when he came to me and talked about the position and the salary for softball. And I looked at him and said, can I come back? He said, really? You want to? And I was like, no, I was just kidding. But I never thought in my wildest dreams that my alma mater would step up to the plate like they have now. Because that's always been the problem. This is a gold mine, but you got to spend money to make money. And I think we finally have realized that.
He sat, Dr. Brian, here you're in, maybe a month ago, and did a great interview with Ruffin and myself. And I asked him off air, I said, in your job and in your role, I mean, can you ever turn it off? You know, having to always be on in this person. He said, that's the understatement of the century. You can never turn it off. And what you said makes sense to me. To have that mentality, deal with the emotion and the tragedy and in wave after wave. He's done a remarkable job.
A remarkable job. And, you know, they do things like, I mean, he comes to the games. I saw where his wife had the soccer team over at their home for dinner. I never worked for anybody like that. So, I mean, you know, I love Skip to death, and he was an unbelievable AD. And, he is, but... what Brian Maggard and his wife are doing here is talk about fit into the Cajun culture. And she's always right by his side. So, but again, I just pray that his life becomes a lot easier so that he does not have to deal with any more of these monumental issues.
Finishing up with the Vet Gerard as we're live at Ruffino's on the River. We've talked a lot about Tony, as you would imagine, on this program and throughout the community. Tell us more about his family, about Colleen, about Justin and Austin, and just your connection with the Robichaud family.
I really don't have a connection to them. They know me. I know Colleen. But Tony and I, you know, we go back to the beginning because Tony and I spent 5 hours together on his interview from McNeese. And he said, you tell me why I should take this job. And we spent 5 hours together, and, you know, we were so busy in our own worlds coaching, and but it's sort of like a good friend, you know. You don't have to talk to him all the time. You can just text him when you need something. And I mean, he was one of the few that were on my side when I left. I went to tell he was one of Mr. Lampson was the first, and I walked over to tell Tony he was the second that I was leaving. And you know, he said, "Wow, you have the best of both worlds in this state." He's right now. For a long time, he wasn't right. He said, they'll love you in Lafayette. They'll love you in Baton Rouge. And for a while, that wasn't true. But anyway, it's funny. But
he knew. Eventually.
He knew. He went through it with McNeese. I said, how do I handle this? And he said, they won't understand for a while. Not for a while. But he said, you know, as time goes, they'll understand. And everybody's got to try to do better for themselves. But you know, we stayed in touch. If I got to the World Series, here come a text or a nice handwritten note, and I'd text him. And one time I got misquoted in a Baton Rouge paper, and I called him right away, and he said, you don't ever have to apologize to me. He said, you know, I know where your heart is. We're good. So, you know, unfortunately, family that well. I was gone for so long. But, you know, of course, unbelievable their strength through that entire 2 days. I waited in line for 45 minutes at the Cajun Dome to get to the front. And the first thing Colleen told me was, he's still working, Yvette, he's still working. And the strength that that family showed in those 2 days, because, I mean, I was biting on my finger a couple of times because I was about to sob in the church. So, you know, and I think that all comes from Tony. And once again, you know, his lessons, I believe, won't die because his players will pass it down to their sons, and their sons will, you know, it'll continue. So, you know, he was greatness in Lafayette.
Coach, let me ask you this. If you have 10 more minutes.
Sure.
There we go. Bender arm one more time. This is so much fun. We'll have Gus Cattingill aboard to talk some Saints training camp at 4:45. Luke Johnson, he's got a new job. We'll congratulate him and bring him aboard at 5:30. But stick with us. Another 10 minutes of a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, a legend in Lafayette, Acadiana, and Baton Rouge. Yvette Gerard will be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. The free 103.7 The Game mobile app, it's better than ever. Make sure you update yours if you haven't already. And if you haven't downloaded it, it's really easy. Just go to your app store, type in KLWB 103.7 The Game. Listen to live and local shows whenever you want, wherever you want. Catch up with on-demand interviews and specialty podcasts. That's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the free 103.7 The Game mobile app, and it's presented by Visit Avery Island.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Trying to track down the latest on Michael Thomas. And right now the rumblings, well, they emanate from where all great rumblings come from, bars. And we're at Rufino's on the River in the bar area. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Yvette Gerard with us. Coach, we got word here that Mike Thomas has agreed to a deal. We're looking to confirm, but if it's said at Rufino's on the River, it's basically true.
Pay him, pay him, pay him. We only got Breeze for a few more years. Pay him.
Still game.
Yep.
God bless you.
Spent a lot of money to be in that environment and scream my guts out and my lungs and everything else. Just to see that field goal hit.
Unbelievable. What was it like in overtime? I've been to a lot. I've covered a lot of heartbreak games that LSU's been a part of, the Cajuns. I don't know that I've been in an atmosphere that was anything like what you must have witnessed.
You know, it was surprising going out. Of course, just dead quiet. You know, everybody was so upset because of the call. And I had friends that were sitting in that end zone and had a bird's eye view of the non-call. And, you know, I called him right away, and he was like, we got robbed. But, like I said, I was shocked. It was so quiet. Everybody was numb. And, of course, it took like an hour to get out of the parking lot. But nobody, I was like, oh, my God, there's going to be fights. There's going to be this. But nothing like that. Just dead silence.
Everybody was in shock. Yeah.
And everybody just there was so much energy that you expanded and put out that we were wiped out. Everybody was kind of wiped out. I have never been in an environment where it was that loud for that long. I mean, the crowd did everything they could, you know, because I get fired up at football games, especially here. Sometimes when it's third down and six and people are sitting on their hands, come on, I need you, make some noise. So. You didn't have to say that about the Saints crowd that game.
So I got one for you, and I bet you were at this game. My best example of fever pitch for hours and then dead silent. National championship year of 2007 for LSU football. They're playing Arkansas, and it's the triple overtime game. That place was on fire for the better part of three, 3.5 hours. Darren McFadden, Peyton Hillis. I mean, those running backs were just going and going, and Houston Nutt's team was rolling at that point with the wild hog when Matt Mauch threw incomplete to try and tie that game up in third overtime. That's as much as I've seen fever pitch go to nothing.
Yeah, it was kind of like that with the Saints.
Except in a dome.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like ear-splitting. I mean, the person next to me, we couldn't even hear each other. I mean, we were screaming. And we knew they asked us to be loud, and we did our job. Like the fans and the Saints recognized that. I think Sean Payton said, or maybe Breeze, one of them said, the fans were just incredible. So it was electric and then so heartbreaking the way it ended. You know, so anyway.
We got a few more moments of Ed Gerard. Good enough to stick around here. Rufino's on the river. You making the trip to Austin for LSU, Texas?
I'm not. I usually make, you know, that Wisconsin trip kind of did me in. That was a really fun trip, though. We went and saw the Cubs game before and then drove down a legendary Lambeau Field. And what was really cool was actually my neighbors in Baton Rouge found this couple that lived two blocks away, two streets away from Lambeau Field, and we tailgated there.
Oh, wow.
And this was incredible. They had their backyard open and their home open for the people who tailgate. $20 to park your car there. They let people, strangers, go into their house to the bathroom. They were cooking food. I was like, are these Cajuns?
Tell me if this makes sense. Did you Airbnb tailgate?
Kind of, almost, huh?
Think about it.
Almost. That's amazing. You're right. It was incredible. This dude, and of course they were Green Bay fans, and you know, but it was incredible. We were like, who would do that? I wouldn't let all these strangers in my house and, you know, maybe park in my yard. Yeah, but we took over there. They wanted us. They set up all the tailgating for us, and we just had to walk two blocks to the most legendary field, which was very cool. Did you go?
I did not.
That stadium is phenomenal.
My first year full-time hosting this show and not being a beat writer.
I missed it. It was a phenomenal stadium. Of course, they made us sit in the sun. That wasn't so great, and the game stunk. But, you know, other than that, it was such a fun trip.
You encountered cheesehead Cajuns is what it sounds like.
We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it. And it's like, you know, then they said they did it for every Packers game, you know, and it's just as you were told, it's just a little town with this legendary team there. So it was cool.
Your thoughts on Joe Burrow? I don't think LSU's had one like him in a little while now. This guy carries himself with a little something.
I love him. I mean, for him to command the respect of his team when he shows up and basically the summer doesn't know the offense. He's, you know, of course, he's a coach's son, so he's respectful. He studies the play. He's every, you know, kind of kid that any coach wants to coach. But, you know, because they could have divided the team. They had the two quarterbacks that left. And, you know, it could have been a big issue. But to the team's credit, too, I think, you know, their leaders got everybody together and say, he's the man. But, you know, I'm excited. As you know, I love football. So, you know, I think they're going to do very well. This first game's going to be tough. But I do believe I think we're more talented than the Horns. And, you know, it'll be fun to watch. But, I thought I was going to want to go, but then the tickets are so few and far between. So I thought, nah, I'll just watch it on TV.
Here's how I look at it. Maybe this will help us sum up football heading into August. The Cajuns won the Sun Belt Western Division last year, Napier's first season. LSU won 10 games with the A&M thing going a different way. Probably should have been 11, but we'll go where it's out in the books, 10. And the Saints demolished the NFC South and were a stone's throw from the Super Bowl. How can they each take the next step? Because all three were really close to just elite and excellence last year. If they could do it this year, could be a special fall.
Could be, and I think I think the Cajuns have the right man. I think that, you know, anybody that lived under Saban – I coached on the same staff with, you know, Skip Bertman, Nick Saban, who, I mean, those are two that will go down in history. Nick Saban, of course, Skip was finished coaching by the time I got there. We had 1 year together where he coached, but he became my boss. But there's no question Nick is the finest coach I've ever been around. I just listened. I think I'm the one that said Saban-esque at first. Everybody starts to talk like him, and he just demanded excellence. So I think Billy Napier learning under Saban, you know, certainly a good kudos for him. I think the Tigers are going to be really good. I think that they're cursed. I think that Orgeron will be just like Charlie McClendon until Nick Saban retires. He's just going to have so much trouble beating them every year. So,
give me a minute on this topic, and then we got to hit a break. Did you like Nick?
No.
You may have respected him immensely, but did you like him?
He wasn't very friendly.
Okay.
No.
Hey, we didn't need a minute.
Yeah, no. He didn't need to talk to Yvette Girard. When we were getting ready to go to the first national championship, he came out of the elevator, and I just went up to him. I was like, Coach! And, you know, I was getting ready to hug him, and I saw this board stiffen up, and I was like, oh, don't touch him, don't touch him. And I was like, starting to, you know, whatever. And I said, I am so excited. Everybody's so excited. Congratulations. We're playing for the national championship. He looked at me, and he went, yeah, and walked away, and I was like, no.
My understanding, the only thing that's changed is that the teeth and the hair are better. Otherwise, it's the same thing in Tuscaloosa.
Yep. Don't bother.
He's too busy winning. And
nope.
Hopefully LSU could break that streak sooner than later. Coach, we've been trying to do this in over a few months. You've been incredibly busy. Thank you.
Always fun.
This is awesome.
Always fun, Ben.
We'll be right back in. Gus Katengill joining us live from New Orleans. We'll talk about the Saints. See if Mike Thomas inked a deal. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
I will give the famous Clint D credit. You ask him to play some NOLA coming out of a break. He goes full tilt, Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Let's waste no time taking you down to the Big Easy aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Gus Katengill, host of the Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3 in NOLA. How are you, Gus?
Good, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I think there might have been a fake Twitter account that got some patrons here at Rufino's on the River excited. They thought that a deal had been inked. Not the case, right? Michael Thomas still unsigned?
Yeah, no, that's the case. I think one of the things that you did see yesterday, though, when Mickey Loomis sat down and talked with everybody, it was kind of something and the reason why I led off the show with him today, you know, and covering him since he's been the GM for the Saints and been a part of that front office. He's, at times he's been cryptic, doesn't give a lot, not very forthcoming. And I thought yesterday he said volumes and spoke in ways that make Saints fans just relax and just, you know, it'll happen. And I think the highlights to me, Ben, were, you know, you heard him talk about how he understands that this is a business. He understands this is. Is he unhappy? Obviously that, you know, he's not in camp. He has a contract. Yes, but he understands it. He's not mad at him. If anything, he says it's a reflection on what he did, that they did poorly, that they got to this point. So it almost takes a little honest on himself to say that, you know, that you should have tried to get a deal done. The other key element, though, is that they talk every day. And I don't know what kind of contracts you've had in the past, man. Obviously, we're not the level of Michael Thomas and what he's trying to negotiate, or Drew Brees or Jimmy Graham. But to me, the contracts, when you hear we're talking every day, that's to me, that you're ironing out details. You're trying to come to a conclusion on things. We have heard in the past and seen contracts in the past where they're at an impasse. They're at a standstill. Hey, there's been no communication. Or we've heard Mickey say, you know, they know how to get a hold of me. And that's not the case here. You're not hearing anything like that. He classified the negotiations as professional, credited, complimented his representation. So when you hear that, to me, it's, look, the guy just missed conditioning. He's missing a day or two of practice. Drew Brees has spoke volumes on the amount of times of how he practices and trains hard, and every rep is a Super Bowl rep. I am not remotely worried about it, and I think I understand why he's doing it. I think a lot of people do, and you know, it's crazy. I don't know if you got some. We had some Twitter people comparing him to Anthony Davis saying yesterday to trade him. And I think they might have started the weekend a little bit early with some beverages.
Yeah, that's insanity. Gus, I'll ask you this. Day of training camp, first opportunity for many people to see Jared Cook. What are your expectations for the former Oakland tight end?
Well, the expectations are that he is the second receiver on this team, right? That he's going to be the guy opposite of Michael Thomas that the Saints are going to depend on the most to produce catches, touchdowns, you name it. So I think the expectation level is definitely that. And the other expectation level is that that's what the Saints expect. That's what he expects. He's excited because he said last year in Oakland, it was the first time people, or obviously, you know, Coach Gruden used him in a type of manner that, well, the Saints do in lining him up in matchups. We saw already earlier in practice today, he was lined up on the left side as a receiver, and the ball went to Cameron Meredith on the inside. So they're already going to line him up in different formations. They're going to use him in a lot of different areas to put him in mismatches with different people. But the fact you already saw today, practice one, he's lining up as a receiver. He's going to line up in the slot. And dude, he's every bit of what he's listed. He's a big, big, big target. And I think the Saints are going to be very happy with what they got with him. And I think he's going to be happy that he chose the Saints.
Gus Kattengill, radio with ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans, our guest.
Looks like we lost Ben Love there for a moment, Gus, but let me just throw this question your way real quick, and this is going to be more about what's going on with the battle with center Eric McCoy, obviously going to be the big storyline heading into this Eric McCoy, Nick Easton. What can you say about that battle based off your observations just one day in?
So today was kind of what we saw the first week of OTAs. First week of OTAs, we saw Cameron Tom be the guy that started at center for the team. And then towards the end of minicamp, you saw what took place, and that was the fact that you saw Eric McCoy be the center. So you saw today, day one of training camp, it's what you would think. And what you would think is, look, you got to earn the opportunity. You got to earn the way to start. You got to earn the opportunity to be the starting center and beat out a guy that has been competing for it. So what you saw today was them flipping back and forth. It's probably not a good thing if you're Eric McCoy that there was some center exchanges. But at the same time, very first play of team drill today, Drew Brees handed off to Latavius Murray and he fumbled. So we're not calling Murray a fumbler. We're not doing any of that. I can tell you, looking by the body language that had that Drew Brees was showing, it made you think that maybe he thought it was something like that, or he was disappointed that there was a fumble exchange because plays after that fumble snap, he was kind of smarting on the side over there and not happy. But we'll keep an eye on it. I think it'll be interesting, guys. Sunday, first padded practice, who gets the most work with the ones there? If I'm the Saints, I want to see Eric McCoy do that. I want to see him go up against Onyemata. I want to see him go up against Edwards. I want to see him go up against, you know, the blitzes and things of that nature. Today was base defense. You didn't even see a nickel package at all today. So Sunday, pads on. Now we'll get to see what we've heard about what makes McCoy special, physicality. Because a lot of times when we think of what players put on the shoulder pads, hey, now the defense got there, pop somebody. Let's not forget, it's also the opportunity for the offensive lineman to put some licks and to actually be able to grab onto somebody and to be able to make a block like they want to.
Hey, Gus, sorry I lost you there for a moment. Back in now. Ken Trahan said on this show yesterday he thinks the secondary is not only a strength of the defense but the team. Do you agree?
I absolutely do. I think one of the, like I said, look, to me, man, my overall storyline is health. This team is just to get to the Texans. I think in the Texans game, let's see what happens once the season starts. But there's little storylines inside of it. And one of them for sure, you can talk receiver depth. We just talked about the center, McCoy, Davenport's growth. It was great to hear Armstead and Cam Jordan today touch highly on what Davenport's been changing already. But receiver is interesting, but to me it's the nickel corner because you've seen DJ Williams and also Patrick Robinson coming back from injury from last year. They've been battling out and seeing a lot of that time with the ones that I thought in OTAs and minicamp. If I had to pick one story that came out of that that stood out to me, it was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm like, that guy has got to get on the field. That said, even Larry Holy, Athletic, was standing next to me today, said he wonders if he was humble today or sent the message, or like I just referenced McCoy, we know you got talent, you're a rookie, you have to earn it, because he was with the twos all day today. And there is no way, by what I saw in the last couple of weeks in OTA and minicamp, that he is not getting in. But again, you did not see nickel package today. It was just base and bases, two safeties, two corners. Now, remember, Eli Apple didn't get that last year pickup by the Saints. Could he move to corner? Could he move to safety? It's Von Bell's final year as well. So it is an intriguing aspect, but it is a strength, like Ken said there, because I think you're deep. It's not a situation where I thought last year they thought they were deep and it was, uh-oh, we need to go grab somebody. We traded a draft pick for Eli Apple deep. I legitimately think they are deep at that situation, but especially at nickel corner.
Gus, always fun to catch up, and it's that time of year, my friend. Thanks for doing this. Talk it soon.
Okay, anytime, man. I'm right here.
That's Gus Kattengill, the Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3 in the Big Easy. And I'll let Gus's secret out, right? His cat out of the bag. He wanted to get a little yard work done today. I asked him to come on the program. He said, I think that might actually get me out of some weed eating. So please let me do this, and I'll have a reason to tell my wife. So hopefully I didn't completely put you in a bad spot there, Gus. But get back to the damn yard already, won't you? Always fun to catch up with him. Let's wind down hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Uncertainty. So despite some rumors to the contrary, Michael Thomas has not inked the contract yet. I get that that leaves uncertainty. I understand things will linger. I know he's losing 40 large a day that he doesn't report to training camp. I still feel very confident this will get done, and sooner than later. Uncertainty, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. It's been a phenomenal hour. We'll try to do it again next. But I'm back for more on 103.7 The Game and live from Rufino's on the River.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. 3 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love with you live from Rufino's on the River. And the famous Clint D with us in spirit from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And we had a lot of spirit in the opening hour. Yvette Girard, former USL at that point, and LSU softball coach, a Louisiana, and the namesake of the field at Lampson Park. Yvette joined us. Coach was here for about 45 minutes at our opening hour. Absolutely great to catch up with her. And then we just had Gus Kattengill give you the latest from day one of Saints training camp. So while hour one was a blast and it flew by like a blur, there is one thing, CD, that you and I didn't get to in the opening hour. And I'll open up the phone lines. You and I will opine on the subject as well. We never got to our sink or swim question. It's LSU. It's UL related, both with football. And I don't even need the music. I'm just going to come right out with it, and we'll get down to the nitty-gritty. It'll give us an opportunity to talk some college football over the next 25 minutes, because at 5:30, hey, speaking of Acadiana area legends, Luke Johnson did a lot of things covering these UL Raging Cajuns for a while on the beat. He just got a new job announced today. We're going to bring him aboard, let him tell you all about it. He'll still be covering the Saints, so we'll get back to the black and gold at 5:30. But right now, Clint, what I want to dive into is this. We know that August is an incredibly formidable time for college football programs. It's really the first time that your freshmen, your transfers, and your returning players get to mix it up, and not just with the strength staff, but with the head coach, the coaches, the GAs, the coordinators, everybody. And you get to start to separate the men from the boys. You get to formulate your two deep. You work on us, and then you work on them, right? You get better, and then you game plan. So during this important month of August, I want you to give me the player for whom August is the most important on the LSU side of the aisle and the Raging Cajun side as well. Would love to take some thoughts from our listeners, too, on the subject. 706-0111. I'm going to be a little selfish, CD, and I'll roll first. And I'll go Cajuns first here. Pretty obvious you can answer with Levi Lewis. You could really go starting quarterback Levi Lewis on the UL side, Joe Burrow on the LSU side. Nobody would fault you. I think it's more important for Levi. His leadership isn't questioned. I don't think that his running ability, his instincts, I don't think those are truly in question either. I have some questions about Levi, the downfield passer. I have some questions about whether or not he can stay committed to being a pocket passer and not, at the first sign, taking off and running. Now, here's the thing. Taking off and running isn't bad for Levi Lewis or Billy Napier's offense. But if he could be patient, he's got such a good receiving core. If his line can give him time, he has an opportunity to do some special things, not just in the short to intermediate passing down the field in this Fun Belt League and this world that he lives in. So, yes, Levi's a great answer here. But I might give you a different one. I'm going to give you a freshman from our area. I'm going to feed you Jax Harrington, because he's been one of the players listed that could just step in for Cole Prudhomme. And we know that the Cajun starting center is going to be out for a number of weeks. From what I've been hearing, I think there's a good chance he takes a redshirt season. So if there's no Cole, who starts at center for Napier and Rob Sale's offense? If the young man from Erath has an opportunity, August is going to be awfully important for him. For that matter, everyone who's got a chance to step up and start at center for UL, August is important to him. Because now you get to compete. Now you get to show that you can jive with Levi Lewis. Now you get to prove that you belong in Rob Sale's system and you can be one of the lead communicators along the offensive line. So I'm going to tell you that Jax Harrington and some of the others that have their names in the hat to replace Cole Prudhomme, this August is monumental for them. As for LSU, it's two players at the same position. It's Tyler Shelvin and Apu Aika. It's that simple. Whether it's more of a 30 front or a 40 front at this point, I'm not all that concerned. I just want to know that amongst the options of beef on the interior of the defensive line, who's ready to play? Is Shelvin in shape? Can Aika, a freshman, get there fast enough? You know they're going to have some of the best coaching that the college game offers, right? With Meatball Johnson, especially with Ed Ogeron getting his hands dirty and involved with the D-line this August. This month is going to be critical for those young men along LSU's defensive line. Those are my takes. Clint, how about yours?
First off, Ben, absolutely love the takes that you had. I think Jax Harrington is a good one, but I'll throw another one on the fire. You brought up a lot of offensive side of the football for the Cajuns. I think we got to go with the defensive side here, in my opinion. It's Joe Dillon. He's coming off the hip surgery from last season, and my biggest question is, can he still be the monster that he was before? I think this training camp is going to be really important for him to kind of get his feet underneath him and really get a lot of reps to be able to get back to the way he was when they started the season against a very formidable Mississippi State team. When you look at LSU, I'm going to copy off your notes a little bit, Ben, and go with Tyler Shelvin as well, largely because it just feels like it's now or never for me. We heard about this guy forever, a lot of hype surrounding him when he was recruited, committed, and when he entered the program, a lot of hype surrounding him. Can he be able to get to that point where he's at that level everybody expected him to be in 2019? And another one out there, lost entry last year, a lot like what I was talking about with Joe Dillon, Thaddeus Moss, tight end. A lot of hype, obviously, because of the last name being Moss, and yes, Randy Moss's son. this guy, I want to see what he can do, and it's kind of in the same situation with Shelvin. It's now or never for him, I feel like.
You know, it's just crazy about Tyler. This will only be his second full year with the team that he's beginning, or at least year he's able to play, right? And so the young man who started at Northside High went over to play for Louis Cook at Notre Dame. Every opportunity is out there in front of him. They say he has slimmed down to 340 pounds, whatever that means, okay. But if that's where he needs to be, fine. Stay there and retain the athleticism. He's so nimble with his feet. So Tyler Shelvin's got a chance to be a huge difference maker. Certainly would not count out Apu Aika. And I know he was that good in the spring game. He was one of the talks of spring football for LSU. Let's see how that translates to August. You could do it now against some of LSU's big boys and the starters. When you go ones on ones, then maybe you could translate that and have a chance to be playing a lot of minutes. Week two, when the Tigers head to Austin. So a lot of opportunity here in front of these players. I'm just curious who this month is most important for in your eyes. Stew on it for a little bit. When we come back from break, happy to take your calls on the subject. We'll also get to a commitment and an announcement that is forecasted to happen in the next 20 to 45 minutes. That's right, Jaqueline Roy, U-High defensive lineman in Baton Rouge. We'll preview that as well. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, celebrating life and taking you home from Rufino's on the River and always on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
What dog days of summer? Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love will get you through it all with the latest concerning your favorite teams on the field and on the recruiting trail. Now, back to the show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. Yeah, we got Friday vibes. Having fun, as we always do at Rufino's on the River. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We asked a question. We gave some answers. Now we're going to take yours. August is very important for everyone on LSU's team, on the Cajuns team. But maybe there's a player for whom it's a little bit more important. We're just searching for who and why. Let's go get another take. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Ken is with us. Ken, thanks for waiting through the break. Who you got here?
No problem. I'm disappointed in Tyler Shelvin. I'm done with him. It's time to move on. He's been in that program long enough to get his weight down and everything together. Just shocking. Play for Newell Cook and you don't get yourself together? Very shocking. Move on. It's time to move on. Tyler Shelvin, afterthought. As far as LSU football, I got 11-1, 12-0 possibly. I'll be disappointed if it's not the case. I think they have it on both sides of the football. And the only question for me for LSU is the kicking game, the field goals, and also I'm not worried about the punter, but it's the field goal kicking. I'm not sure about that. But, Tyler Shelvin, I'm done with him. Done. Because he's been there long enough. Get himself together. To me, he has no discipline. To me, he don't have the fight in the will. He don't have the want to. And I'm tired of that. He should have been dominating by now at LSU, and he's nowhere to be found.
All right. Ken's in. Time for some more. Thank you for the call there. How about your response to that, or maybe some of your selections? I'll open up the phone line again, 706-0111. I didn't expect that. Maybe I should have. Because I asked you for guys for whom August is very important, and Ken gave me a guy for whom he's done with. I don't have to put that in any more clear words. I think he did that pretty succinctly. I'm not ready to write him off just yet. But to be fair to Ken, I'm not saying that I'm optimistic that he is at the right weight, in shape, and ready to go 40 to 50% of the snaps for a 12-game regular season, right? So for me, I'm not signing off on that level of optimism and confidence in Tyler Shelvin just yet, but I'm certainly not to the point of writing him off. Maybe, just maybe, Apu Aika gives him some competition and spurs him along. That's what you got to hope, at least. Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning coordinator, was with us Tuesday when I was over on the other side of the bar area, inside the wine cellar at Rufino's on the And Coach Moffitt said those two, I mean, they basically are with each other all the time, working out together, pushing each other. Let's see if that pays dividends for young Tyler Shelvin. Ken says he sees 11-1 and a 12-0 possibility. Expectations are high. And if you heard me with Yvette Girard in hour number one, I'm not sure anybody loves football in South Louisiana like she does. And I laid it out for her. I said the Cajuns won the Western Division last year. LSU won 10 games, probably should have been 11 with the A&M debacle. And then the Saints, well, we know how dominant they were. Stone's throw away from the World Series. Listen to me, the Super Bowl. How do you get better than that? How do you improve? For LSU, it would have to be 11-1, wouldn't it? Or better, to improve on last year. Those are high expectations. And they've got some players who have to take a step forward to get them there. August is imperative for them. I threw out Shelvin. I threw out Ika. Kid said he's just about done with them. Again, we got some time for you. What do you think? 706-0111. Clint, let's look a little more at the Cajun side, because you threw out a defensive player in Joe Dillon. Hard to come back from a year completely out of the game. And what's interesting, we can make a parallel just about to Caleb Von Chassel. I mean, didn't he do basically the same thing? Injured himself in the very first game against Miami? And so I think both of these defenses are getting back premier pass rushers, at least when they were healthy. Now we're going to see if that's the case on both sides. So, you know, you mentioned Joe Dillon. I'll match that. And the parallel on LSU side is Chassel. And I'm not going to say that August is paramount to get back into condition, because I think the young man's probably there from a conditioning standpoint. But when it's time to start taking actual reps again, when it's time to go against offensive tackles, the best LSU has to offer, okay, well, how's it going to go? When you're doing your swim moves, your rip moves, your spin moves, and all those things that are second nature to you with the upper body and the torso, what's going to happen when you try to do some of the things that used to be second nature with the lower body to complement them? Are you planning with confidence? Are you getting up the field with confidence? Are you driving through contact with confidence? So I would give you the kind of the parallel to Joe Dillon on the other side of the basin. I think Chassel has an important August ahead of him. But I did want to give you one other Cajuns player defensively. And I had the chance to see, and of course I'm going to blank here as we're coming toward it. We talked about him a good bit with Deuce Wallace when we had the former SDM Cougar on the program earlier this week. Clint, help me. Indiana, he's got such talent. He came in and played. There we go. Clint's in my ear with Braylon Traha. It's exactly what I was looking for. He's got a chance to be a heat-seeking missile this year in that Cajun secondary for Ron Roberts. So I would list him as another player who has an opportunity to make a little bit of a jump. And how do you do that? Display dominance in August. Show some things in your Saturday scrimmages behind closed doors that let the coaching staff know, yeah, we got a real one here. We can trust this guy. It's no longer about if he's playing. It's about, well, how much is he playing and where do we fit him into this puzzle, right? What type of piece is he? Do we need to have him in the box? Do we have him a little bit more free roving and ranging? So I would give you Braylon Trahan as well. And I remember pretty early on when he got to UL as a true freshman, Coach Kevin Falk telling me, this is a kid who's got a lot of game. And he comes from good stock, good chance that he comes in and plays early. He did. I think he's got a chance to play even more. So I'll let you riff on that one. We'll take calls if we get an opportunity. Luke Johnson joins us here in about 9 or 10 minutes. So between now and then, let us know your thoughts. LSU Cajuns, important players this August. 706-0111. So, Clint, agree or disagree with Braylon Traha?
Oh, I'd agree with Braylon Traha. He's a guy who's shown flashes, and I feel like this could be a big moment for him to be kind of the guy alongside a Deuce Wallace, who we know he can wind up having a potential as well. But I feel like Braylon Traha in spurts throughout his career with the Raging Cajuns, I think this is the year where he really kind of puts it all together and could be one of those breakout players on a secondary that looks really stout right now.
It's interesting to think of it this way, but you know that I always try and draw some ties between the three programs and franchises that we frequent. going from west to east, UL, LSU, and the Saints. Could this be the best collective secondary year for all three? It won't be a surprise for that to happen at LSU. If you kind of banty it around and claim yourself as DBU, some things are understood there, right? For the Saints, that might be where it's the most surprising. To go from where they were 3 years ago in that secondary to where in consecutive days on B2BS we have Ken Trahan followed by Gus Kattengill say, that's the biggest strength on their team, on the whole roster, is secondary. Holy hell, that's taken some use to get some time, I should say, to getting used to, but it's true. And last year, I think we might have been a little premature to jump on the Marcus Williams bandwagon. He'll jump back from that, you know, Minnesota miracle play. He's going to be a transcendent type of player going alongside Adamore and some of the others. Well, didn't exactly pan out that way. But the return of Patrick Robinson certainly could mean big things in some of the subset packages. So, well, LSU, the Saints, big secondary year in all three. Looks like there is a chance for it. All right, let's get back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, welcome back in. What you got for us today?
Well, dude, I'm going to tell you this point blank. $1.1 million is more than anybody is going to see in Louisiana as a base salary. Secondly, just take the deal. Take the deal. Prove what your worth is, because I've been in fights on Facebook all freaking day long talking about pay the man, pay the man, pay the man. Okay. Where is the head of the snake throwing him the football? Breeze has made kings up and down the roster that nobody knows him anymore. Jimmy Graham who? Brandon Cooks who? Okay, take the deal. Okay, stay with the team. Stay with Breeze. Yeah, he's a great receiver. I get it. But take what you can get.
You know, I would venture to say, not even just via social media, that you're probably in the minority of Saints fans, but I feel where you're coming from, Frank, because they're that close. And I said it the other day, usually in real estate, the rule of thumb is if you get within 10% of deals getting done. I mean, they're in that type of ballpark, but all you're suggesting is why should it be the Saints that had to cave when Mike Thomas probably still has some things left to prove and prove what he's going to be worth, especially in life after Breeze. Am I feeling you out about right?
Yeah, exactly, because Breeze is a kingmaker. Everybody knows this. Jimmy went to where, and now who is he?
Yeah, it's fair. I tend to think the Saints probably will be the entity here that bends, right, so this thing doesn't break. But I think we both agree that it's going to get done. Frank, thanks for the call.
Too easy, man.
It is too easy. And I can see Frank fighting that battle uphill on social media, because I'm in the camp where I think the Saints probably can and should bend in this one to make sure that it works. But it's a good conversation to have. Maybe we'll have it on the other side of this break with Luke Johnson. Hey, before we hit that break, I want to give a shout-out to the people on Facebook that have responded to our sink or swim question. We've got two responses, Chris W., Brandon R., and both are saying Joe Burrow, that this August is most important for him on LSU's team. Chris W., it's Joe Burrow. Learn the new offense. Trust the receivers. Be smart running the ball and learn how to slide. L-O-L. And then Brandon R. says it's Burrow because he's got to a new offense. Good points all around. We'll be right back in with a fan favorite in Acadiana. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we're live from Rufino's on the River on 103.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Clint is slaying Bumper music, and how appropriate. It's like we got the DeLorean back to the future. Let me explain. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. We used to play that music. Luke Johnson came aboard to talk Raging Cajuns. Now we play it because, well, he's covering the New Orleans Saints amongst other Louisiana franchises, programs, and areas. Luke announced today he will be with the USA Today Network. That is great news for everyone throughout Louisiana. Let's welcome him back aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Luke, welcome into the show. Congrats again on the big news. This is huge, bud. Well, hopefully he agrees with that, and we've got him aboard. CD, let me know. Too grand of an introduction. Hopefully we can get him back. I do want to talk some Saints and get his thoughts on the new gig. Luke, welcome back into the show. Hopefully we got you today. How's it going?
Hey man, it's going good. I heard everything up until you started leading into your question there. So, I'm glad to be back though. I'll tell you that. I'm glad to be back writing about the Saints and all the other things I've covered over the years. So, I'm ready to go, man, and ready to talk some Saints.
I love that we bring you back in with Kickstart My Heart. Hey, let me clarify one thing. This does mean that readers locally in Acadiana will get you on a daily basis inside the Daily Advertiser, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Although I might not be writing, every day. I think the goal is to try to kind of find some really good stories to tell, stories that take a little bit of time. So it might not be a day-to-day beat coverage, but I think throughout the season you will be seeing my name in there a lot.
Well, they found the right man for the job. Luke, let's talk some New Orleans Saints. Today, the opening day of training camp. I know the big story is Mike Thomas, but what else do you have your eyes on? The guys that are there, what are you excited to dig into as you continue covering this team?
Look, I'm really interested to seeing how some of these new guys fit in. And I think that's going to be one of the things you look out for at every single training camp as the new faces. I think we know what to expect from some of the core guys on this roster. You know what you're going to get from Drew Brees. You know what you're going to get from Alvin Kamara. Whenever Mike Thomas gets back, you know what you're going to get from him and Teron Armstead and all the guys. But you don't know exactly what you're going to get from Jared Cook until you see him out there doing it. Same thing with Eric McCoy and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and all these new guys they brought in, Malcolm Brown. I think those guys are the ones that are going to get the most attention. And, yeah, man, every time I look at Jared Cook running routes in this offense, I just can't help but feeling like he's going to have a monster year. The Saints are the type of team that knows how to use a guy like that. Jared Cook is not going to have to be the focal point of this offense. They're going to have Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara to throw the ball to as well. So they should be able to find opportunities where that guy can just create mismatches all over the field. And I just, every time I see him just sprinting down the field, a giant man running that fast, I just can't help but think he's going to just have a huge year.
Luke Johnson, our guest, and now he's going to be plying his trade with the USA Today Network, still focusing on those New Orleans Saints. And this time last year, it was how do they rebound from that Minnesota miracle play. From an emotional standpoint, is there anything they have to bounce back from when you look at the NFC title game, or is this team just too veteran for anything like that?
I mean, you think that they're okay. They were in this exact same position last year, like you said, and they bounced back just fine. There's nothing they could really do about not going to the Super Bowl last year. They think they should have been in it. So, maybe the cumulative effect of having to do it 2 years in a row is just too much. But judging by the way they went 13-3 last year and just kind of barnstormed through people for about a 10-week stretch there, after coming back from that just devastating loss to Minnesota, I just think they'll be just fine. Well, I say that as from a mindset standpoint. I don't think there's any sort of hangover or carryover from that game, despite the way how painful it was when it ended.
When you look at the schedule this year, I guess your thoughts on how it's maybe lined up as opposed to last season, I guess your thoughts on the 2019 slate?
I think it's pretty tough early. I think their first four games are all against playoff teams from a year ago, if I remember correctly. I don't have it right in front of me here, but they go on back-to-back West Coast road trips to Los Angeles in week two and Seattle in week three. You know, that's going to be a challenge logistically and just from a standpoint of playing good football teams. I think they're still planning on staying out on the West Coast for after the Rams game and just staying in that time zone and not having to adjust again. And then they come back. I think their first game back, they're playing against the Dallas Cowboys in prime time. And that's just it's a really tough gauntlet right out of the gate. And I think if they get through those first four games, okay, and we've seen them start slow in the past, not necessarily last year, even though they lost that that week one game to Tampa Bay last year, but we've seen them start slow in the past. And if they can get through that first four games, intact with some positive momentum, I think that suits them up really well for the rest of the year.
Luke, how do they effectively, enact a plan for Breeze management and really keeping his arm strength, everything intact through the remainder of the regular season and through the playoffs this year? How do they do that?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the offense look a little more like it did in 2017 than it did last year. I think last year some of that was out of necessity with Mark Ingram, not being available, and they got on such a heater right there at the beginning of the year. It was just like, why change things? But when you look at this roster as it is right now, I don't think you need to throw the ball 40 times a game. I think you can lean on Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill and Latavius Murray. If he makes a roster, even a guy like Dwayne Washington, I think he looked really good in limited opportunities last year. And I think he's continued carrying that on in OTAs and training camp this year. So I think you've got a lot of guys that can handle the load, and you've got a really good offensive line. And you've got a good defense. I think you can lean on that run game a little bit and not put so much wear and tear on Drew, and just have him fresh by the end of the year.
We're finishing up with Luke Johnson on 103.7 The Game. He is now covering the Saints for the USA Today Network. I'm going to read one of your tweets from about 8 hours ago, amigo, because local folks will love it. This job, you tweeted, will also provide you some statewide or allow you to provide some statewide sports coverage. Expect some stories about Pelicans, LSU, and maybe even the Raging Cajuns. Tell us that's true.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. I'll be all over the place. I think the idea for this position is to have me be a sort of a regional Louisiana-based sports writer who. My focus is on the Saints, but one of the biggest stories in the NBA this year is in New Orleans. I'll be writing a lot about Zion Williamson. I'm sure I'll be out at a couple LSU football home games. And when there are stories to be told out in Lafayette, I can't imagine there would be anywhere else I want to be but opening day of the 2020 baseball season out at Tiedemann Field, just seeing what that program does in the first day without Tony Robichaux there. That's the sort of stuff that I want to be doing, and that's the sort of stuff I think that I'm going to be given the opportunity to do.
Luke, before we let you go, I'm glad you mentioned Coach Robe. Just your remembrances of a guy that you got to know fairly well in a short period of time and cover.
I think what I thought of him, I just kept seeing echoed over and over and over and over again on social media. People entrusted that man with their children, and he gave those children back to them men and good members of the community. And I think that's how Rove wanted to be remembered, and that's absolutely how he was. Just a great man who will be dearly missed. I'm just sad that there's not another generation of young men he could bring into manhood.
Incredibly well said. And congratulations again, Luke, on the new gig. Look forward to reading your work here on the Daily Advertiser. Let us know if ever there's anything we could do for you in Acadiana. I know you know where all the great food is, but just holler when you come this way.
Yes, sir. Absolutely will do. Enjoy your time out there, man.
Love it. That's Luke Johnson now with the USA Today Network. And I can tell you this, everything is intact right now at the Jaqueline Roy commitment ceremony in Baton Rouge. LSU, A&M, Bama. They got hats on the table, and there is kind of like a pinata football that is behind them. I don't know if he's going to smash it, and out comes, I don't know, colored confetti. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But hopefully on the other side of this break, the U-High defensive lineman and a stud in the class of 2020 will have made his announcement, and I can tell you all about it. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Nine minutes to 6 o'clock for Bumper to Bumper Sports, closing out our 5 o'clock hour on 103.7 The Game. We're still live from Ruffino's on the River, and we're still awaiting the commitment announcement from Jaqueline Roy. Will it be LSU for the U-High defensive lineman? One thing I can tell you is this, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. He's got a dynamite picture. TJ Finley from Ponchatoula High School. Jalen Cook from Walker High School. Hanging out in attendance at said commitment ceremony. I think a lot of people excited about this one, and I think a lot of reason to believe it is going to be shoe. Here we go. The latest picture for Mike Scarborough. Jaqueline Roy has arrived for his commitment party. So I would imagine before the end of our program today at 6:35, we have an answer to relay to you. The hats on the table, LSU, A&M, and Bama. And then, yes, there is a football pinata. I can only imagine he's going to bash it. And maybe it's kind of like one of those gender reveals, right, where colors for a program fly out of it, maybe a different hat, maybe like a live tiger or an Aggie or I don't know. Okay, it's probably not going to be those things. But this should be a lot of fun. I'll let you know. Once we know. Meantime, let me issue a daily reminder and PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust their management top-down, starting with Mark, to sit down and help you create a vision and then fulfill it. And they can do it for you before the year 2020. But you better hurry and visit the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Clint, I know you heard it from Yvette Gerard's mouth earlier when she was here. I know you did, and don't think I was going to forget about it and let it go quietly into this Friday night. She reminded me that when she goes out on some of her favorite chartered fishing trips in South Louisiana, that she calls on her good friend. And Clint, what exactly is that gentleman's name again?
That gentleman's name, it's a fantastic name, Ben. It is Coon Pop.
And so today, the shade is very simple, and it's really not even subtle. I can't believe I'm not allowed to call you that anymore. And I had to make sure, full disclosure, that our listeners understand. Yvette Gerard came on this program, and we're huge fans, obviously. If this were the Jim Rome show, we'd say we're an Yvette Gerard house. We class it up a little more than that. We just like talking to her. She's awesome. She loves football. She loves South Louisiana. So when Yvette came on this show maybe a year and a half ago, and said that she went on a fishing trip, I think it was her, maybe Fran Flory, who coaches volleyball at LSU, and she said that her tour guide, Coon Pop, was amazing, and then she told us why. And I basically led the charge for Clint's nickname to become Coon Pop, and I thought that Clint Coon Pop Domingue was maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And after about two or three days of replacing your nickname from being the famous Clint D to, shall we just say, CP, I was, I guess, shall we say, not so politely instructed that no longer could I refer to you as that on the air. And so the shade today is that bad feelings have now resurfaced on my part. I'm going to renew my request to all the powers that be, and with any luck, we'll come back on Monday, and we won't know you as the famous Clint D anymore. We'll just go right back to the well, because it might be the funniest thing that we've come up with in 4.5 years of this program. So, as always, Yvette Girard, you are the best, and maybe, just maybe, Coon Pop can come back into our lives, and not just when you go fishing in remote parts of South Louisiana.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I feel like a kid that was told not to press the red button, and I waited for like a few years, and then I was like, you know what? That's right. I forgot about that. I'm still butthurt about it. I'm going to press the red button. So now I've done that, Clint. Hopefully they don't hit the red button and eject me from this program. I'll let you tell your side of the story. In fairness, you didn't exactly run away from the nickname. I won't say that you embraced it. I think you were okay with it.
You know, it's like maybe it's just the fact that I'm with rose-colored glasses now. I'm a little more okay with it now than I was back then, Ben. Let's just put it that way.
I don't ask for a lot. You know, I come on and talk for two to three hours every day. I get to do shows at exquisite locations like the Taproom River Ranch and Rufino's on the River. I don't ask for a ton. I just think that we should reconsider that, and maybe we will. So I'll go and fight this battle, right? I'll see what we can do. But ultimately, I think I know the answer to it. I can tell you this. It's been a fun 2 hours. We're not done yet. Here's what we have planned for our final 35 minutes of the program. We're going to come back in, going to let you hear from Sean Payton. Going to let you hear a little bit from some of the brass of the New Orleans Saints, because training camp is underway. So we're going to let you hear from Who Dat Nation, live from out in Metairie. We'll see if we have a resolution. Jaqueline Roy, has he bashed the pinata? Is it LSU, A&M, or Bama? And then at 6:15, a Q&A replay with Ken Trahan. He was awesome. And I mean outstanding yesterday. We talked to the owner, CEO of Crescent City Sports, a guy who also sits on the board of the Allstate Sugar Bowl. He is the chairman of the board for the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. He goes in on the Saints and then even further in on the current state of the LHSAA. You don't want to miss this interview. So stick with us. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Right back in with a hold that tiger moment. Yeah, that's right. Jaqueline Roy has committed to LSU. We'll talk all about it. Little Saints as well. I'm Ben Lovin. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Our third and final hour kicking off from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D joining from the 237 Roof Studios. Clint, I think we called our shot here. I think everybody did. Shay Dixon, Mike Scarborough, Billy Embody, Sam Spiegelman. They've all been on this program in the last couple of weeks. They've all said the same thing. Yes, there will be Bama, A&M hats on the table, but yes, it'll be LSU. I'll let you tell our listeners what transpired in Baton Rouge, specifically with that pinata. That was the only real intrigue for me. I thought it'd be purple and gold as well, but how did he make his announcement?
Oh, he made it quite simply, Bambi. Is the football pinata, I guess is what you would call it, was just placed squarely on the center of the table. Instead of it being like you just bash the thing with a bat, he just ripped it open with his hands and pulled out a white LSU hat and put it on, and the crowd went wild.
It's a pretty fresh lid, and it's a pretty fresh look right now that LSU, a top two class in the country, kind of duking it out alongside Clemson and Bama, and that's where they want to be on the field. Ed Orgeron and company want to duke it out with those two when the lights are on in December and into January. To do that, you have to catch up on the recruiting trail. And Orgeron said, after LSU got shut out at the hands of Bama in Death Valley last year, the catch-up really needs to occur along the lines. And so the number one defensive tackle in the state, depending on where you look, the number one player in the state, no post shade being thrown there at Kayshawn Boutte of Westgate High School, but this is a big-time announcement. And now Boutte, Roy, Finley, Cook, so many committing in the state for this 2020 class, and they're being joined by a lot of talent from the East Coast to the West Coast and in between. Bayou Bengals building something awfully special so far in 2020. So, again, your news, late breaking of the last 7 minutes, Jaqueline Roy, U-High defensive tackle, has committed to LSU football. I'm sure that'll be a huge topic of conversation for us next week, CD. As we get toward the end of this hour and this week, let's get to some sound from the New Orleans Saints. Leading off with head coach Sean Payton, all the talk, obviously, on Michael Thomas. But let us not forget, AK-41, I think, on the brink of an absolutely special season. Here's Sean Payton on Alvin Kamara.
How many more things? Look, I think he's an exceptional runner. I think he's very, very good as a receiver. And so, generally, when you have a running back like that, it's not difficult to get him touches because you can turn and hand him the ball on occasion, and you can put him into the route. And but he has that skill set where he does a lot of things well, and the counterbalance to that is, you know, making sure you maintain that proper number of touches. And so I think more importantly, the other touches that aren't necessarily Alvin's, you know, whether they're coming from Murray or whoever's in the game, I think that's going to be an important part of what we do.
Let's get more from head coach Sean Payton here. He wraps up the opening day of Saints training camp.
You know, we handled the test well, the conditioning test. I thought these guys, you know, today moved around. I think the weather, you know, we've got a good stretch here where, you know, it's been a little milder. I think the setup for the fans is outstanding. I was really excited to see how much that's come along, just, you know, creating the shade and it's come a long way. I used to sit out there and all I heard was the beer man selling beers. That was your only way to get cool. But, no, everything was good here this first practice.
Yeah, the beer man. And I get the feeling he ain't talking about Michael Lewis. He's also talking about throwing some shade over at Saints camp. That's the way to be this time of year. One or two more cuts from Saints head coach Sean Payton. And this one's kind of interesting. Former LSU quarterback Danny Etling has been used at receiver, apparently, lately for the New England Patriots. Oh, this ought to be fun. What does Payton think about that?
No, I think it's all player-related. I mean, what Bill's done with Etling is not a surprise at all, because it wasn't too long ago he was doing that with Edelman, quarterback out of the MAC conference, you know, that ran pretty well, good athlete. And the uniqueness with Taysom is strictly that, you know, he is a quarterback, and what he's doing on special teams, and he's a different body type than the receiver slash quarterback. You know, he's more of a tight end F, and he's really good at it. I mean, the lesson's always like, man, there's good football players, and it's creating the right vision for them. Sometimes we spend too much time on what they can't do and not enough time on what they can do. And I think that's a lesson for all of us.
Just wild. And if he's one-fifth of what Julian Edelman's been, it'll pay dividends for the Pats. But I hear certainly what Payton is saying. He's more of a tight end F, not that slot receiver. One more from Payton, then we got to head toward a break. He met Zion Williamson at training camp. His thoughts on that chance meeting.
My whole thing with him, when I told him this wasn't about football, this was just another shoe deal, another jersey deal. 2 days of practice is all we need. We get another shoe deal. Doesn't have to be as big as the last shoe deal. Another jersey deal. Put him in another number. That was good meeting some of those guys.
That's awesome, man. It's not even about, you know, football. It's not about basketball. It's about licensing and merchandising and go get that deal. Always fun with Sean Payton. Hey, we've been telling you for the last 2 weeks. I've got one final reminder to issue to our men listening, 18 and over. There truly is a great local event coming to Lafayette Saturday, August the 10th. It's the 7th Biennial Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference, and it's coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church. This is an event for men of all faith and that want to attend for all reasons. The truth of the matter is, it's an invitation to heal. A delicious jambalaya lunch will be served, and you'll enjoy keynote speaker Father Donald Calloway. They call him the surfing father. Seriously, this should be fun. So make your plans now, especially before we get busy. We go our separate directions with school starting and football season. Make time to huddle up within yourself and regroup at the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference. Register today at m2m2019.com, m2m2019.com. Tickets are limited but still available to the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church Saturday, August the 10th. The website again, m2m2019.com. All right, we'll be right back in. And before Astros at Cards, a Q&A replay with Ken Trahan. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Back in more of your 6 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Having fun and celebrating life at Ruffino's on the River. Glad to have you on 103.7 The Game. You can just about feel the weekend at this point, can't you? I know that I can. We're getting you ready for Cards Astros. That's right. The Houston Astros making a run on the other side of the aisle. They're going to be taking on the National League. St. Louis Cardinals, this used to be a very formidable rivalry. Now it's interleague play. Jose Urquidy getting the go tonight for the Astros. We're inching closer to that. About 7:10 is your first pitch. And then at 6:35. 20 minutes or so from this very moment, Astro Launch takes off. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks here on Acadiana Sports Station. That's future talk. That's what's coming very quickly. If you want an idea of what's coming for the entire season on the New Orleans Saints, and trust me, you come for the Saints talk, you stay in this Q&A replay for what Ken Trahan, CrescentCitySports.com, you really want to stay for what Ken has to say at the very end. I had the inkling, the presence of mind to ask him about kids not getting a chance to play football championships in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Understand a few things. Ken is the chairman of the board for the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. Think he spends a good bit of time in the dome? Right, me too. He also, as he'll tell you here toward the end of the interview, closely tied in with the All-State Sugar Bowl. And we know they've got a very, beneficial partnership, I think you would say, with the LHSAA. So without any further ado, I do want to bring back, for my money, what was one of the very best interviews we've had in a while. And that's no due disrespect to Billy Napier, Bam Jackson, Deuce Wallace. We had some really good ones this week, especially on Monday. A new Sun Belt commissioner, Keith Gill. I don't want to leave him out. But this might have been the creme de la creme. Frankly, I've had people calling and texting me about this interview for the last 25 hours. So we're going to kick it back to you right now. We're talking Saints football with Ken Trahan on 103.7 The Game. Ken, your early impressions of rookie center Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M, I would have to imagine, the odds-on favorite to take over at center.
Yeah, he's working with the same people that have really prepared a guy like Tavon Armstead for the league and Andrus Peat. So he's getting really good instruction and preparation for what he's about to endure. The early take on him is that he's a smart guy, very introverted in terms of his ability to comprehend, take things in, and then translate them, but on the field, extroverted. He's an aggressive guy that can do the things you want him to do. He's quick. You know, he has the ability to run block. He's not a road grader per se, but he can block the run. And in pass protection, you know, the concern about him when you read all the draft analysis was he doesn't have very long arms. All I know is in college, when he was at least head-to-head with anybody, he gave up one sack the whole time at A&M. So, and by the way, they played good competition last time I checked. So as a result, look, there's a lot to like there. And yet, you know, the Saints do have other options. Nick Easton is a veteran player who could play center when they signed. And then they've got Cameron Tom of Catholic High and Baton Rouge, who did a decent job when given a chance last year. And let's not forget Will Clapp, who, of course, played the position at LSU and is a swing guy, too. So they have some options there, but I don't think there's any doubt that they want to give McCoy a chance to win the job outright. If he shows well in training camp and in the preseason, I think he will get the job. If there's any question at all, they don't have to force him in there immediately.
Ken, paint a picture, if you don't mind, for our listeners, of how the Saints replace Sheldon Rankins, who's going to be in there with that battle, and how they kind of divide that pie.
Well, of course, you know, they signed Malcolm Brown, who played for the Patriots. He's a space eater. He's a big guy. And obviously that's a guy that you want inside to occupy blocks. I don't think you're going to get the kind of pass rush threat that Rankins was. He was becoming really, really good in that area for a guy that plays inside, because maybe his biggest asset was his quickness. So that part of it, I think, will probably be hard to replace. David Onyemata really took major steps forward last year, played well. He'll be suspended for the first game of the year, but he is a player that can play, and they like him. Taylor Stallworth is a guy that played snaps last year. They're counting on him to be that guy again this year. You can't discount Cam Jordan moving inside to play some as well. And they've moved him around over time, but now maybe more so with Rankins being absent. And then, of course, there's the whole wild card in this, and that is, you know, when will Rankins be able to come back? You know, an Achilles injury, you know, typically speaking, you're thinking 9 months to a year. He got hurt in the playoffs last year, so you're thinking January, and, you know, the regular season starts in September, so you can do the math in terms of, you know, when he might be well. If you're thinking, you know, 9 months, you're thinking October. If you're thinking a year, you're thinking December. So it really does depend. We saw Alex Okafor come back from an Achilles injury, not only quickly, but he came back and played very solidly for this team last year. So I know that's what they're hoping happens. Of course, you can't count on them initially, and they're not going to tell you about injuries, about how a guy is coming along. That's not their policy. But we're just going to have to wait to see on that. They do have some other options. And then, of course, along the defensive line as a whole, they've got Trey Hendrickson, who's played solidly, and they kind of like him, and they signed Ziggy Wood yesterday. So they've got some other options. And, of course, we all know Marcus Davenport is an investment, who's going into his second year, whom they're hoping will have a breakout season if he can stay healthy. So they do have some nice options up front on defense, but certainly replacing Rankins will be Exhibit A, because he was really becoming an outstanding player.
Coming down the stretch with Ken Trahan, owner, CEO, CrescentCitySports.com. How about an overview of the secondary? They were awfully bad for the first two or three games of the season and then did a bit of a 180. Are they somewhere in between this year, or can they be consistently excellent?
You know, it sounds strange to say this, but it's probably the strength of their defense, if not the strength of their team. It's amazing that we're saying that, given where they've been previously. But Patrick Robinson returns, proven NFL player, good pedigree, and he's back. P.J. Williams emerged last year as a good player. Now, we're waiting on word of any potential suspension because he had an off-season incident with a DUI. But he really played well last year. Eli Apple came in and did a solid job. Marshawn Lattimore is still one of the better corners in the league. And then, of course, you still got other guys that have played in this league extensively, and Ken Crawley and Justin Hardy, that are behind those guys. And the wild card is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who, you know, is a guy that at Florida was a heck of a player. They made an investment in him in a draft, and he's versatile enough to play as a corner or a safety. And I think he's got that ability to play and play extremely well in this league. So that's a whole bunch of corners. And then Gardner can play safety too. And then you're talking about Chris Banjo as a solid backup at safety. They drafted Saquon Hampton, who is a good-looking player and might be a real bargain in the draft from Rutgers. And then, of course, you got Von Bell, who improved significantly last year, and Marcus Williams coming back as starters. So suddenly the secondary looks like a real strength of this team. And obviously, if you've got a secondary that can play and you got guys that can play man coverage, it frees you up to blitz more. And obviously that creates more havoc for any offense.
And before I let you go, Ken, I haven't asked you yet about this further split that we have in Louisiana high school football and this idea that the private schools will not play in the dome this year. Your 2 cents on that.
Well, they're still trying to do that. It's still possible that they will play in the dome. I was with some people yesterday, and And the select schools had a meeting most recently in New Orleans at Brother Martin. They have a big meeting, of course, coming up at Trillings Catholic on Monday, as you know. And there's still a reasonable chance that they can play their championship games in the Superdome. They've had conversations about it. It really ultimately comes down to cost as much as anything. If they don't play in the Superdome, it would be disappointing to me because I think kids deserve the very best, and that is the very best. At the same time, if they have an option to play at college facilities that are good facilities, then certainly that would be apropos. Bottom line is I think the select schools have every right to do what they're doing. I commend them and, in fact, compliment them for taking the action they've taken and forming this select school association within the LHSA because basically they've gotten the short end of the stick. If you want to be more crude about it, they've gotten screwed. They get the worst times by far in all the championships, and that's an absolute fact. You know, they get the worst dates and the worst times where you can't draw people and people can't make the games. And, of course, they're a minority, and they've been treated that way. And, you know, I can't stand the split. I never could. I think it's a terrible thing. I think it sends a horrendous message to the children of this state that you can't work together and get people to cooperate and compete. And if anybody asked the kids if they wanted to compete with each other, I guarantee you the kid at Acadiana wants to compete with the kid, you know, at St. Thomas More, for instance, you know, and while they're in different classes, just an example. I guarantee you that's true. But nobody asked the kid. And by the way, the Coaches Association is polling coaches now to ask them about whether they would support getting back together. And as I understand it, that so far the response has been pretty good. And they're going to do the same with athletic directors. The point being this, that sometimes there's a disconnect between coaches, ADs, and principals about what these schools' policies are. And I think ultimately, if you get coaches and ADs to say, we prefer to be back together, it might put some pressure on some of these principals who have voted otherwise. I truly hope that's the case because I don't think we have real state championships right now. I really don't. You know, I just call them, you know, 1A champ or 5A champ or Division II champ because they haven't competed with everyone in their class to do that. So, and then the other hypocrisy of it is they play each other during the regular season in district play, but I'm not going to play you in the playoffs, right? So, I mean, the whole thing's broken to me personally. I don't like it. I understand and respect people's opinions that do, but I'd love to see something happen in the near future that might change it.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. Ken, so well said, and people who listen to this program know I believe that Mike Boyer knows exactly what he's been doing all along with all
sure
this. I think he's splitting them apart so it'll come back together, to your point.
No doubt. Mike's done a great job. He's been front and center in this, and I commend him for everything that he's done. And I hope that and now these schools are getting their act together on the select side, and they understand that they have some power. Let me tell you something. I'm involved with the All-State Sugar Bowl as well, and they sponsor every event in the state in the LHSAA. And if there's any further split in this organization, they can pretty much forget about that sponsorship. Bottom line is All-State Sugar Bowl is the biggest entity there is in the state. They sponsor the LHSA. And by the way, virtually every member, if not every single member of their executive board, is a private school graduate. Keep that in mind.
There you go. Ken, I know we took you for a while today. Thanks for the time. Look forward to catching up soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Never gets old to say it, but so nice. It's an interview we had play twice. And we're coming down. Just a few moments left in today's program. Clint and I will step aside one final time, and then it's a world's shortest segment audition. But we've had a lot of fun here today. Yvette Girard, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, was with us to begin the show in the 4 o'clock hour. And now she's over there calling games at Yvette Girard Field. Boy, that's got to be something that takes some getting used to. Gus Kattengill was with us as well to talk Saints. And Luke Johnson, a man with a new job. And he's in a familiar area, New Orleans. Hopefully he'll be talking some LSU and some Cajuns as well. He says he will be, so this has been an awful lot of fun. We'll come back and put a bow on the show next. You're listening to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.